strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raid. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Here in season 23 of the Big Red Rage, show number 615 overall.
Stop.
In the career of this show, we are officially putting the red into Big Red Rage tonight, Wolf, because the red light is on. We are broadcasting. Don't even think about eating your dinner in here. Put your knife and fork down. You do not want to suffer the same consequences as Zaven Collins recently, who got put on blast by the head coach for, wait for it, trying to enjoy his little breakfast eggs in a team meeting to get going. Thou shalt not multitask in a Jonathan Gannon team meeting. Capiche?
This is exactly what it's all about, Paulie, right now. The culture. The culture of a professional sports franchise. I don't care what sport you're even playing. You've got to establish it. And the culture is so important because it says, this is how we do things around here. That's critical. And that's what they're all learning right now, Paul.
And you might say, okay, what's the big deal? One of your starting linebackers, a former first-round pick, came into a team meeting. He's got his bowl of scrambled eggs. But guess what? If you're multitasking, then you're not 100% tuned in to what is being discussed. And if you're the head coach, you're
exactly.
Like, okay, wait a minute. I see someone whose attention is divided. Ron Wolfley, after 10 years in the NFL and 4 Pro Bowls, would you say that little things are big things in the NFL?
You're right, Paulie. Little things are big things.
Discipline matters.
Starts there.
And how many times after games last year in a 4-win season did we hear the coaches and players say that everybody took their one turn making their one mistake? You got to get rid of mistake late in football because it will cost you football games.
Oh, it will cost you games in a big, big way right there. There's no easier way to lose a football game than mental errors, and coaches for years have believed that. And by the way, if you make 2 or 3 mental errors a game, you're an abomination to most coaches. If you make 2 or 3 mental errors a game, you're an absolute joke. It is very, very harsh in terms of those little things you're talking about, and mental errors are big things. I just want to say this quickly right now. When you're establishing a culture, it's about meeting. It is. It's about what we expect from you during meetings. Workouts, this is what we expect you to do. This is how we expect you to do it. Practice, this is how we expect you to practice, man.
Man.
What about tape time? How are you going to watch tape? All of this, Paul, is what you're doing. You're laying the foundation for any human being that walks into your culture to say, this is how we're going to do it from this point forward. And you're trying to educate everyone so when you go into training camp, that is all taken care of. The hay is in the barn.
My other big takeaway from Zaven Collins talking to the media this week is when he said, and I quote, players are feeling the pressure, and that's a good thing. And look, when there's all new decision makers in place, new head coach, new coordinators, new GM, when there's all new sets of eyes on you, every single rep of every single practice, and you really have no idea what indeed they're thinking, and you do realize they have very few allegiances out in that field, then guess what? Everyone's not just competing. They're competing for their football future.
Yes, Paulie. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, is it not?
And it's part of that culture, like you said, the foundation that's being laid right now. DJ Humphreys, who was out on the field for the first time this week after rehabbing from the back injury for most of the offseason, he was talking to the media about buying in to this new culture.
You got to. You gotta get off the pot. If you don't buy in, you're gonna be gone. So it's like, you know what I mean? That's the mentality. It's pretty simple. Guys can smell it, and it's happening. It's clear, very clear. It ain't a lot of like babying and showing favoritism. If you don't want to do it, you don't got to do it. We're gonna get somebody else to do it, and you're just gonna be sad about it after because you're not gonna get a chance again. So it's like that's the mentality. So I think guys are seeing that and they're understanding that this, you do it or you don't. You can tell everything matters, and is it for me being an older guy? I love to see it because it's like that's football. That's what the NFL is.
You can just see it out in the field. You can hear it from the coaches. You can hear how demanding they are. You can see and feel the vibe, the tempo. You can see the expectations. And then the realization of players, Wolf, that guess what? Especially in that offensive line. When I look at the offensive line, there's a lot of players. Now, there aren't a lot of franchise left tackles by DJ Humphries, but there is the number 6 pick overall, Paris Johnson Jr., who, oh, by the way, is in the offensive line room and may or may not represent the future of the position. But guess what? As Jonathan Gannon has said more than once, everything is a competition.
Everything is a competition right now, and I'm sure JG is opening up all positions to that competition right now. But I love what DJ said right there, buy in or be gone. Buy in or be gone. You know what's so fascinating about this? That speaks to the general manager as well, Monty Ossenfor, right now, Basinonians. Because think about this, Pauly. What kind of human being are you actually going to bring in? That's so critical. You're going to bring in somebody who's already going to buy into what it is that you're doing from a culture perspective right now. You're not going to bring a bunch of guys into your locker room that you already know are going to fail. You're not going to do that. You might take some chances here or there on certain guys, depending on their skill level. But you're going to bring in, if you're Monty Ossenfor, guys that are going to buy in. That's what makes it great when you're on the same page as the general manager, a head coach, and an organization.
And DJ Humphries had all the right things to say when they asked him about the fact that Cardinals did make the number 6 pick overall, the same position he plays in Paris Johnson Jr. And DJ's response was, well, look, they've drafted other offensive linemen. I'm still the guy getting paid $15 million per year at left tackle. Bring on the competition. And besides, in his words, quote, I ain't no hater. If I can be in some guy's Hall of Fame speech, guess what? That's a good thing, meaning I helped him become a better player. And we already saw DJ Humphries out in that field helping out a Paris Johnson Jr. As everyone tries to learn this offense, you had a chance to sit down with Drew Petsing, the new offensive coordinator. And at some point, Kyler Murray will be out on that field. Until then, it's mental reps. And here's Drew Petsing on Kyler absorbing the O.
It's a language, so he's got to learn to speak the language and understand the language to make sure that when he does hit the field, he's not thinking about that. Because if he's thinking about that and performance, the performance will struggle. Whereas if he can get the language down and the understanding of the reads and the footwork and what we're asking him to do, his physical talent's there. I think we've all seen that. So we got to be able to let that take over. And I think he's really embraced that. You know, it's not always the, you know, called the sexy work, but it's really important to go out there and perform on Sunday, and he's done a great job of it.
All right, so you did the interview, and you're nodding as you hear that response.
Yes.
Why?
Pauly, because once again, it's a weird situation to be in here, but I think it actually is going to help Kyler Murray that he's not able to go out on the field and execute right now. And I know that sounds so weird. I know that it does. But I think this is really, really good from a perspective that Kyler Murray is just going to focus. He's just going to focus on learning this offense and learning the terminology of this offense. He's just going to be hyper-focused on that. I think this may actually give him the best opportunity of learning everything that it is that Drew Petsing wants him to learn about this offense. And then getting the opportunity to go out and regurgitate it on the field. I think that is going to be really, really important to the success of Kyler Murray. I could be wrong on that, Paul, but I like the fact he's getting the opportunity to not worry about execution, but worry about learning it.
Well, he'd zoom out in his career. It's an opportunity he was not afforded as a rookie. He was the starter from day one.
Great point. He was
the franchise quarterback from day one. He didn't have 3 years like Aaron Rodgers to sit behind a future Hall of Famer and just assimilate and absorb everything about the NFL and how to run an offense. So if you get a guy in his 14th season like Colt McCoy and you watch him do it a little bit, then okay, maybe you are more prepared. I tell you, It's been an interesting offseason for Kyler Murray in a lot of different ways. Obviously, he's been rehabbing the ACL, but he's been around a lot. He's been able to connect with his teammates in the offseason like never before. And DJ Humphries elaborated on that.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about Kyler because we've been in the training room a lot, you know what I mean? So it's like offseason training is the real work. Offseason training is really like how much do you care about football? How often are you going to come in here? How long are you? This is when you build that callus for real. So that's been, I feel like I've gotten to know him more this offseason from just being around him and seeing him attack this rehab like this. It's been impressive.
That's interesting. He also went on to say that Kyler Murray has a very underrated sense of humor. He's a lot funnier than he thought. And so, you know, because they've spent all that time rehabilitating together their injuries. And so, look, we have no idea when Kyler Murray is coming back. You know, you look at a Breece Hall who tore his ACL in week 7, the New York Jets rookie running back last year. He's already in Jets camp, and he just hit 22 miles per hour for the Jets on the next-gen stats the other day. So it is possible. It is plausible.
Yeah.
But either way, this is a brand-new offense that I think, regardless of Kyler or not, it's going to look a lot different this year. Is it not, Ron Wolfley?
Yeah, it really is, Paulie, and I'm so happy that Kyler Murray is here as much as he is and chose to rehab that ACL here, and it's for the very reason DJ just said.
I tell you what, talking about quarterback, we're going to talk with the fifth-round rookie Clayton Tune when we come back. We're talking about someone who led college football in accuracy stats and a bunch of other. He has a ton of experience. Dare we bring up the name Brock Purdy? We'll talk to Clayton Tune about that next. Reminder, Season 6, Episode 4, Cardinals Flight Plan debuts tonight, top of the hour, 7 p.m. on the Cardinals YouTube page. Go behind the scenes of the draft with Paris Johnson, Monty Austin-Ford in the War Room. Go with the rookies to the D-backs game and more. It's a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
End zone, got it back there. Touchdown to Carter.
Tune looking long for the tank. He got room inside the 10.
First and goal. Tune looking for his fifth touchdown pass. Does he have it? Does he have it? You bet he does. The Cougars get another one from their star quarterback, Clayton Tune.
Blitz comes. He's flushed and looking and scrambling and leaping. It is in! Wow! Up and away.
That would be 70 touchdowns his last 2 years of college football. Should I start with that stat, or I don't know, maybe 44 starts over his college career, the Brock Purdy effect? We'll ask about that. Pro Football Focus, the best passing grade of any college football quarterback this past season. That's intriguing. And then there's what Jonathan Gannon said about his rookie quarterback last week. We'll get into all that. But first, let's say hello to Clayton Tune, Cardinals fifth-round rookie here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Clayton, how's Arizona treating you so far?
It's been great, man. I love it out here. It's a good transition, so I'm loving it.
And the Arizona experiences so far, you know, the Scorpion, the Javelina, a Rattler, any similarities to Texas? I mean, do you feel prepared for Arizona?
There's a little bit. The heat's, you know, it's hot in both places. I'm pretty sure we have Scorpions as well. Probably not as many as out here, but it's been good.
How about all the Texas quarterbacks in that quarterback room for the Cardinals? I mean, are there some regional rivalries in there between you and Kyler and Colt McCoy and David Blau and even Driscoll the last couple of years was in Houston?
Yeah, so Kyler and I actually played in the same district, and then Blau went to Carrollton Creek View, which was 10 minutes down the road from where I went to high school. We weren't in the same district, but it's like kind of all in a 10-mile radius right there, which is pretty crazy. And then you got Colt, you know, West Texas guy, not too far away, so it's a cool deal.
How'd it go with Colt when you finally told him that you grew up watching him play football? How'd that go over, by the way?
It was cool. You know, like you said, I grew up a Texas football fan. So watching him was you know, something I really enjoyed growing up. And he kind of was like, man, like, you were how old when you were watching?
he's so good with such a good sense of humor.
Right. No, know? It was cool, though. It was cool getting to meet him and talk to him and, you know, be in the same room.
All right. So less than 2 months in the NFL so far. Clayton Tune is our guest. Just give me your top takeaways. What have you learned about the NFL so far?
You got to be prepared. You know, you got to show up. You got to know what you're doing. Be prepared. You know, and you just got to go out and perform. You know, you got to carry yourself in a professional manner. You got to treat everyone with respect and show up every day ready to work and provide value.
Here's the quote from JG I referenced. This was last week talking to the media. Someone asked about you so far, and he said, and I quote, "He plays the position the way it should be played, with confidence and command." What does that mean to you?
That's awesome to hear Coach JG say that. You know, that's been my goal, is to come in here and, you know, learn. Obviously, watch the guys in front of me, learn from them, get around all the vets, learn the ins and outs, the tricks and the trades, and, you know, really just put my best foot forward. So that's been my plan, is just to come in here, put my head down and work.
He also said, "You're not scared to fit the ball into tight windows." True or false?
There's some truth to that. I'm working on that. I don't want to fit it into too many tight windows, but when need be, definitely be able to do so.
I remember, you know, I've been around here long enough. Enough quarterbacks have come through. For example, a Matt Leinart used to say way back in the day, he'd say, okay, he said, you know what, in college, you know, the separation was like 3 feet, sometimes 3 yards, as USC receivers are so good. In the NFL, that window is 3 inches. To what degree is that maybe your biggest challenge so far?
Yeah, you know, it shows how much more accurate you have to be as a passer. You know, in college you could get away with a ball that's a little bit behind the receiver. You know, throwing guys open was not as important as it is now. So that's something you got to really hone in on when you're in individual drills as a quarterback and you're throwing balls. You know, you want to focus on picking out a spot and hitting that spot just so you're getting the reps at, you know, working on your accuracy.
Our guest is Clayton Tune, Cardinals fifth-round rookie. So when JG says you play with confidence and command, do you think he's referencing maybe that highest on-target percentage in the QB class? That's what Pro Football Focus had you as. So, I mean, when we're talking about accuracy, it sounds like you have confidence in that department.
Yeah, I've worked really hard, really most of my life to play this position at a high level and, you know, put in a lot of work in the offseason with, you know, my throwing mechanics, footwork, body, all that type of stuff. So, you know, I pride myself on being able to put the ball where I want it.
So what are you most curious to find out when we get to camp, right? When it's full pads, full contact, these preseason games start, what are you most curious to find out about the NFL brand of ball?
Man, just really all of it. But, you know, just the flow of the game. You know, it's much more than just making plays. There's a flow, you know, a good mix of run and pass. You know, in college, you can kind of take the game over. If you got a good player here or there, you can really lean on them. But, you know, in the NFL, it takes everybody and really just figuring out the flow of the game and, you know, doing my part to help the team win.
Give me an example of something maybe that's been a challenge so far, something that didn't go well. Is there anything that you're like, okay, you know what, this is taking a little more work than maybe I anticipated?
I think a little bit of the under center stuff. We didn't do much of that in college. So playing from under center, you know, heavy play action, run action, that type of stuff. That's new to me. So I think that at first that was a little bit of a challenge, but I'm starting to get it.
There have been quarterbacks over the last few years that come in the rookie minicamps, a lot of undrafted, unsigned guys. And I've heard coaches say they never huddled their entire career in high school or college. Is that a challenge for you? How much did Houston even huddle last year?
So we actually huddled a decent amount my senior year. That offense is notorious for no huddle.
Right.
But my senior year, we evolved a little bit and we huddled a good amount. So that the huddle part's not new to me. What's new to me is the headset, because we had just wristbands in college and we had a signal system. And, you know, the main difference is the headset and hearing the play verbally. But as far as the huddle mechanics, that's not new.
So you have Drew Petsing in your ear.
Yes.
And what is he challenging you with, tasking you with? What has he wanted to see out of you first and foremost so far?
Just, you know, paying close attention to the little details. You know, wouldn't have made it to this point if I wasn't, you know, able to make the throws and make the plays. And his challenge to me is to focus on the little details and, you know, whether it's footwork or ball placement, you know, whatever it is, just focus on the details.
Clayton Tune is our guest in the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. All right, so most folks in Arizona, right, they got to know you when your name was called in that fifth round. And then afterwards, when you're meeting the media, you said, "I'm the best quarterback in this class." And I know you've already fielded that question for the media, but just give me a sense, what was behind that? What led you, you know, to have that sort of confidence? And Where are you now a couple of months into this whole process?
Right. You know, I'm just confident in my abilities. I don't stack myself up and compare against other people. It's just I'm confident in the body of work that I've put in and you know, the production that I had in college. So, you know, I believe in myself and the abilities that I have. And, you know, as far as coming in here and proving myself, I feel like, you know, like I said earlier, my job is just to come in here, work hard, put my head down, you know, and just make a good impression on everybody.
In terms of making plays out there, who's caught your eye? Michael Wilson, I think a lot of us have looked like, wow, okay, all right, there's some serious potential there. I mean, who are other guys that we should keep an eye on, you think, when training camp starts?
Man, there's a lot of them. I feel like, you know, all those guys in the receiver room have done a really good job. Like you said, Michael's done a really good job. He's opened up some eyes. Hollywood, obviously. Zach Pascal, solid. You know, he's always where he's supposed to be. He's running good routes. He's doing the right things. Same with Dortch and Dre. Rondale, obviously, super talented.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what he can do with the ball in his hands, because in practice you can't tackle. But in a live situation, I'm sure it's really hard to get that guy on the ground. So,
yeah, Rondale and Hollywood and Greg Dortch have made some defenders look really bad. Yes, there's no doubt when they're
100%.
Totally. What do you make of this offense? How much of a challenge has the playbook been? And what sort of fit do you think this scheme is for you?
I love it. You know, it's more pro style than what I've done in the past, but I love it. You know, they're putting some more run game checks on me, which is good. Same in the pass game, more protection responsibilities. But we still have down the field concepts. We try to air it out when need be, and you know, it's all about a good mix. It's a good flow. Like I said, it's the flow of the game. You got to know when you want to run it, when you want to throw it, just depending on the flow of the game and the defense that you're playing. So I love it.
There's no doubt you're going to get reps, right? I mean, everything we've seen, I mean, there's going to be an opportunity, and let's face it, everyone has a new set of eyes on them. Whether you're a rookie or you've been here 9 years like DJ Humphries, there are new decision makers around. I mean, just that itself must be intriguing as a player on this roster, that you get to make a first impression like everybody else your rookie year.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for the opportunity. You know, I love Coach JG, Coach Petzing, Coach Wolfork. Everyone, you know, on the staff has been great. And like I said, my job is just to come in here, put my head down, and make a good impression. And the fact that it's new to everybody is exciting.
If there's an underrated part of your game, would it be your mobility? We heard that highlight to start this segment, and the play-by-play guy was pretty enthusiastic about you getting into the end zone.
Yeah, no, I would say my mobility. I feel like I'm an underrated rusher, but that's not my main game. I would say, obviously, I want to sit in the pocket and make throws and get it to guys like Rondale and Dortch and those type of guys, but when need be, I can make plays off schedule and scramble, throw on the run, that type of stuff.
Any rookie duties so far? Have you had to stock the quarterback room with snacks, for example?
No snacks, but I've stocked the fridge. We have a mini fridge in there that I've stocked with water and Gatorade. So that's about it.
That's good. Okay. All right. And who's the guy you got to keep your head on a swivel for in the quarterback room? Like, who's the guy who's most likely to sideswipe you with an insult or something? Who's going to get you in there?
Man, they're all really great. They're all nice. Colt will, you know, make some jokes here and there, which I love. I love that type of band. They're all, you know, great dudes. You know, everyone will make a joke here and there, but I love it.
Hey, we enjoyed it. 44 starts over your college career, so we'll see how that translates. I mean, look, there were 10 quarterbacks drafted in the first 150 picks. A lot of people think it was the Brock Purdy effect, so we'll see. Clayton Toon has been our guest. Appreciate it, Clayton.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Back with more of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert right after this.
Drew, he didn't skip any steps. He was a quality control first, then he's a receivers coach, then he's a tight ends coach, then he's a quarterback coach. I always thought Drew was about the right things as far as from a team standpoint, character standpoint. He was curious about the game and, hey, this is how Norv did it, but then I like this is what Shermer did, and then Kevin kind of changed this, and then he was with Kubiak for a little bit. And I just loved that he coached different positions on the offense and really had the right answers with how we want to play as a team and as an offense.
That is Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon in the most recent edition of the Dave Pasch podcast. A great listen. You get insight into the head coach's personality, his drive. and as to why he hired these coaches and coordinators. And I think, and it's easy to hear right there, especially when you consider that his mantra is adapt or die. And we'll hear more from Jonathan Gannon on that a little bit later in this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. But you hear all the different influences on a Drew Petsy.
Yes.
And you realize he is multiple in his thinking.
Yeah, Paulie. No, there's no doubt about that with Drew Petsy. But I just want to talk about JG for a second here briefly, because he sounds so much more under control right now for JG. We all know about the energy thing, and it's great that he's got all this energy all the time. But, Paulie, I've talked to you about this before. If you're always up here, many times your players can tune you out. And JG, I have noticed, has brought it down. I'm sure he was probably all excited about being a first-time head coach, of course, and getting to put your own personal spin on the game of football and how you're going to do it and how you're going to create your own culture. And the energy was way up here with JG, and it was great. But I love what I'm hearing from him right now. He's just bringing it down to more of a matter-of-fact type approach on that, and I think that's important.
It's interesting to watch him work at these OTAs. Because different days, there's different tempos. And Rondale Moore told us about that in the most recent edition of the Big Red Rage. And players really like that. There are some days where they're going much harder than other days. And there are days where Jonathan Gannon just standing there, watching, with his sunglasses on, arms folded. Other days, he's got the bullhorn. And let me just tell you, he's held more than one player accountable.
I've heard it, Paul.
So, okay, now we heard DJ Humphries this week when he was meeting the media, always entertaining stuff, always informative, and talking about Drew Petsy. Let's segue back, because here's your franchise left tackle on what he likes so far about his offensive coordinator.
I like Drew a lot. Drew's a really good communicator and getting stuff across that he wants to get done and how he wants us to be. So I'm a big fan of Drew, his personality and how he is with getting guys to understand stuff and making sure that we're all on the same page and kind of taking and making it an emphasis to make sure we hone in on all the small details.
See, there you hear it again. Attention to detail.
Yeah, Paulie.
If there's one takeaway for me just in talking to these coaches and reading between the lines in the press conferences, that is one thing that they are stressing more than anything, winning football. And when somebody makes a mistake, it's real simple. That's not winning football. Let's correct it right here and move on.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because discipline and being individually disciplined, being personally disciplined, as opposed to collectively disciplined, it's two different things completely. And it does start with the individual to begin with. And yet discipline, Paul, is what is so critical to any culture going forward, whether you've got discipline or a lack thereof.
So last week, James Conner, your RB1, right? Former Pro Bowl running back. He was asked by the media. So, James, what are you looking forward to most with this new Cardinals scheme? And he said, and I quote, that we're going to be running the ball a lot more. And he let it hang. DJ Humphries asked about the Cardinals' new scheme and his first meeting with Drew Petsy. And he said, as soon as Drew told him that we're going to run the ball more, he's all, he had me. I just tuned out. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear to be on board. You spent a good 10-plus minutes with Drew Petsy. What were some of your takeaways just as to what you expect with this Cardinals offense and the identity?
Paulie, warm blanket on a cold winter's night? That's what we can expect right there, honestly. Just talking to him about his offense, and we're going to see the Cleveland Brown offense that they ran last year. Of course, we're going to see that here. We're going to see the Arizona Cardinals quarterback under center. We're going to see a lot of 12 personnel, even 13 personnel. 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends. And if you take one of those tight ends and you stick them in the backfield as a fullback, it's more like 22 personnel from a defensive perspective. The number three personnel group for the Cleveland Browns, when Drew Petsing was there last year, was 21 personnel. Wow. Two backs. The Arizona Cardinals don't have a two-back system here. We do not have a fullback system here. But we do use an awful lot of tight ends. This is what is going to be here going forward. It's going to be more of a attack the line of scrimmage offense and use play action to throw the ball. We're going to see a lot more of that. And the best way to do that, Paul, the best way to attack that line of scrimmage and use play action to throw the ball is a quarterback under center more. Not all the time, just more.
And so if I was to say James Conner is going to be utilized in a Nick Chubb type role, I mean, that would be plausible, right? That would be feasible.
Yes.
And you know what? I think it would be smart football. Number one, last time we saw James Conner in a contract year, he was Pro Bowl caliber.
Yeah.
And you know what? Towards the end of last season, I brought this up on Cardinals Underground with Darren Urban and Danny Sarek, like week 15 against Tampa in a close game, you had a third string quarterback, Trace McSorley, threw it 45 times. When James Conner averaged 5.3 yards a carry against Tampa's woeful rush defense, yet he only had 15 carries.
Yes.
So if we're noticing that, you can bet the new Cardinals coaching staff has seen as much on film.
And not only that, too, but this offensive line, I think, is really built to come off the ball and be very, very physical at the point of attack. And James Conner as well, when you talk about that, yeah, you got Will Hernandez, who's 350 right now, okay, and he would tell you that himself. And, yeah, he'll be down by training camp, but still, you got big physical guys up front. And James Conner, stick his toes at 7 yards. He's 238 right now, Paul. I'm just telling
wow.
you.
Wow.
Stick him, let him attack the line of scrimmage. I'm really, really encouraged based on what I heard from Drew Petzing.
You know you're in the NFL when a former defensive lineman in college is a starting running back. That's how you know it's the NFL. Here's Rondale Moore, who's going to be one of your starting receivers. What do you like so far from the Drew Petzing scheme?
He mixes it up, man. I think it's a combination of getting in 12, 22 and running the ball, throwing some passes out of those formations. Obviously, we'll spread it out a little bit. Primarily, obviously, we're in three receivers on the field and 11, and then we'll, you know, go empty and toss the ball around. I think we've got some cues back there that can get the job done, and it's been a great mixture of all the above throughout OTAs.
It's interesting because there he is echoing a lot of what you just said.
Mixture.
Colt McCoy said, and I'm quoting, "What we're doing now is very similar to the way that I've played most of my career, so that helps my transition." So, can
once again, Paul, the old and the new.
Right. But I read that as, okay, much more traditional football than what we've seen the last 4 years.
Yes. Yes, much more traditional football than what we have seen over the last 4 years, of course. But I thought it was really interesting to hear Rondale Moore actually reference 22 personnel. Okay, Paulie, 12 personnel, one back, two tights. We get that. Two backs, two tights, 22 personnel, one wide receiver. Okay, now wait a minute. I don't think we're really going to see two backs. Maybe we'll see that, two backs. But typically, when you go two back, one of them is a fullback. One of them's going to be there to block for the most part. But I have seen in the open portions from time to time, I have seen a tight end line up in a fullback position in the backfield, whether weak or strong, line up and actually run some fullback type plays from that position. I think maybe that's what Rondale might be referencing right there. The 22 personnel, just the fact that, okay, it's more like 13, one back, three tights, but they put a tight end in the backfield and it makes it look like 22.
All I know is Colt McCoy said to the media that we're huddling now, we're using cadence, we're making mic points, we're doing a lot of these things.
Paul, the huddle, do you have any idea? This is something that the huddle is so critical because many times in the huddle, you'll remind each other of certain situations that happen in a game as a play is being called and you're in a huddle. The accountability, the eye contact, Paul, that you're making with other guys in the huddle, there's something about that. There's encouragement you can actually glean from that eye contact as well. And from a guy speaking up saying, hey, guys, remember the last 3rd and 8 we were down inside the red zone here? Remember it? What happened? They brought that corner blitz, right? I mean, just little reasons as to why you should huddle. I love that.
Well, how many times over the years when Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer were mic'd up, when you had that veteran quarterback, they had advice to say, like, they'll call the play and they'll grab one guy and say, hey, here's your job. Don't forget.
Yes.
It's those little things, again, that are big things in the NFL.
Huge, Paul. Yeah. Great point. Yeah.
And by the way, on this Cardinals' new offense, you might have a new starting right tackle. Just saying. Because Jonathan Gannon told the media this week that Paris Johnson Jr., quote, has what you're looking for in a starting tackle. I'm just throwing that out there. single game tickets on sale now. azcardinals.com/buy tickets to secure your seats today. azcardinals.com/buy tickets. By the way, there will be a Kyler on the field for mandatory minicam next week. Kyler McMichael, an undrafted rookie last year, signed as a cornerback.
Oh!
He's joined the roster. More Big Red Rage right after this.
You know, I use the phrase adapt or die, man. You know, the game's changing. The players are changing. You know, like, you got a 7 or 8 year vet and a rookie coming in. Like, they're different people. You know what I mean? They play football differently. That 8 to 10 year gap of age difference for players that are on our team, they grew up playing differently. They went to high school and played differently. They played college ball significantly different right now. You got to be able to blend the two there. But, yeah, I'm curious, like, hey, what is the best way in 2023? You know what I mean? You try to figure it out, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I am not, here's my playbook and here's what we're running. I don't think that's the way to go.
Ron Wolfley, are you sure you didn't hire the head coach, Jonathan Gannon, that it wasn't Michael Bidwill and Monty Ossenfort? Because when I hear him use the word blend, I think of you.
I know. I love what I'm hearing again from JG and Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator, and Nick Rollis as well, the DC. He's awesome.
By the way, you're going to love Cardinals Flight Plan coming your way top of the hour, 7 o'clock, Cardinals YouTube page. That's youtube.com/AZCardinals. Go behind the scenes with Paris Johnson at the draft. Oh, behind the scenes in the war room, the Monty Ossenfort stuff in the war room, pulling off the trades. That is gripping stuff. The Cardinals rookies going out to a D-backs game. Always entertaining. So once again, Cardinals Flight Plan dropping top of the hour as we wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, and we are talking defense here. You had a chance to sit down with the new defensive coordinator, Nick Rollis, right? Maybe
yes.
Just give me, you know, so you've sat with both coordinators, and there's some commonalities there.
Yes.
Isn't there? The whole adapt or die thing, both guys, like JG espouses, I mean, they're going to have a lot in their toolbox.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I will tell you that Nick Rollis was a guy that really impacted me because he had a smoldering intensity about him, number one, and a do your job. I'm going to demand that you do your job. Now, you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's because he's so young. He is so young. And maybe he says things in a very decisive kind of way. But I was really, really impressed with Nick Rollis as well. Not just Drew Petzing. Drew Petzing sounded like an offensive coordinator. Very, very articulate. With Nick Rollis, it was more about the smoldering physicality that we're going to play on the defensive side of the ball. Might not be good enough to win games. But how you're going to do that? The Cardinals are going to line up and try to bash somebody in the face.
Yeah, Nick Rollis celebrating his 30th birthday this summer. So there you go, before Cardinals camp. And once they get to camp, all eyes on defense are going to be on the two first-round linebackers once upon a time, both who have now moved to different positions. Zaven Collins, at least so far in the offseason, what we've been allowed to see, he's been an outside linebacker, an edge rusher. And Isaiah Simmons, he's been in the safety room with Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson. That's where we've seen him on the field. As for an outlook for the two, here's the head coach, Jonathan Gannon.
They need to be impact players for us, and that's how we're treating them. You know, both of those guys are extremely intelligent, so everyone sees the physical skill set, but they don't know what they have in their brain. And that's what excites me the most about those two guys is their brain. And why that excites me is when they can understand why you're doing things and how we're deploying them, it allows you to be creative with what you can do with them.
All right, so there you go from the Pash Pod, by the way, Jonathan Gannon, giving some insight into those. Where do you want to start? Which player?
Oh, my goodness. You have to start with Isaiah Simmons. You have to. This guy is so multi-talented. He's got so much ability. And whether or not he's going to be able to channel that ability in this new defense going forward, I don't know what to expect from Isaiah Simmons at this point in time. I think we look at Zaven Collins, and we know that Zaven's going to be on the edge. They're going to stick him on the edge. Paulie, you've been talking about this all offseason, of course. You have seen him on the edge, and you think that's where his spot might be going forward. And based on the evidence we have right now, I would agree with you on this. But to me, it's Isaiah. Isaiah Simmons. What are you going to do with Isaiah Simmons? I asked Nick Rawlins this very, very thing. We got into a conversation about leaving a guy at one position and allowing him to do A, B, C, and D and master that before you move them somewhere else. And Nick Rawlins was on the same page.
And you know what? I think based on the fact they've used him in six different positions so far in his NFL career, that would be in his best interest, both Isaiah Simmons and the Cardinals. But ultimately, is safety truly his best spot? You heard Vance Joseph towards the end of last year. He was very honest with the media at one point, saying, you know, he's more suited to play in space, but, you know, does he have that ability to play in the back end, for example, in space, but maybe more in the box? And so there's these conflicting scouting reports as to exactly what he's capable of. I'm so intrigued to know what these new coaches think of him and how they're going to deploy him.
Yeah, it's interesting based on what you just said and Vance Joseph and his take right there. I could see him being the weak side inside all over again and sticking him at the weak side inside, where I thought from the very beginning they should have put him and said, here's what we demand from you from this position, A, B, C, and D. But you're right, Paulie. It looks as though right now they're going to start him out in the secondary.
And if he's on the tight end a lot, okay. You know, that was the line when he was drafted, eighth overall. He was drafted to cover the tight end, okay. I can see Zaven Collins in coverage. I think that was an underrated part of Zaven Collins' game a year ago, him in coverage on backs and tight ends.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent downfield. So he can be used in those roles, I'm guessing, on third and long. You know, obvious passing downs, they're going to dial up a lot of these different things, and they're going to bring in different players. But when you hit zoom out on the entire defense, I think between now and camp, are they going to sign another defensive lineman? Are they going to stick with what they have? Whereas I think the offensive line is bidding to be better than most envisioned. I do still have some question marks whether they have enough depth in the D-line room.
Yeah, you know what I love as well? Zaven Collins is a big edge player. He's a big edge player at 260 pounds. That's really great. And I just got done talking to Cameron Thomas as well. Cameron Thomas at two. Have you seen him, Paul, 270 pounds? Have you seen the muscle mass dude has put on?
He's been winning the offseason. Yes, I did talk to him for a little while. He got down to 255 and then got back up to 270 the right way.
He's 270. He did it the right way, to your point right there. And he's being played right now exclusively as the edge. Two big guys like that on the edge. That might tell you a little something about what Nick Rawlins and JG might be running.
What's also intriguing about Cameron Thomas, a third-round pick last year, is they had a body composition study, he said, and they say he could easily carry 300 pounds, which is what his brother and his dad, like, and it's in his family DNA. So you really wonder 3 years from now if he might be a five technique.
Yeah, and he was interesting because he was talking about that very thing. He liked playing as a three technique. He liked being over the outside shoulder of the guard. He liked being over the outside shoulder of an offensive tackle in that five technique. He's getting used to being a wide nine all the way out there, because what does an edge player have to do in today's NFL? You better be able to set that edge.
And remember, 36 sacks a year ago, 18 of them, half those sacks walked out the door in J.J. Watt and Zach Allen.
Oh, boy.
So what do you do as a defensive coordinator, as a head coach, to get to the quarterback? Think about it. A year ago in Philadelphia, they led the NFL and it wasn't even close with 70 sacks, 15 more than any other team. And by their own admission, we didn't blitz. We didn't have to. Could it be quite the opposite this year for the Cardinals? So if it's adapt or die, how different is the defensive philosophy going to be this year?
Oh, I think it's definitely, there's no doubt about it. They're going to run what they need to do to win games, or try to win games, or be successful on the offensive or defensive side of the ball. It's going to be fascinating to watch, Paul.
And then there's the cornerback room, and there was another signing today, and there's been multiple signings in the last week or so. They're trying to bolster the depth in the cornerback room. Right now, Marco Wilson, Antonio Hamilton, the rookie Keytrell Clark, who I think has shown well so far. That's the land of opportunity right now. If I'm a player trying to make this team, is the cornerback position group. Honestly.
Yeah, no, the cornerback and the defensive line room. Yeah. Those two rooms right now have at it. And that's great, though. I think there's going to be a lot of competition at a lot of positions. We might even be surprised at some of the positions.
And going full circle on Zaven Collins, I'll just end with this on Zaven. Now that he doesn't have to do nearly as much thinking because he's not the Mike linebacker and he's not responsible for all three levels of the defense, you just unlock that athleticism on the edge. Just go play. Go hunt the quarterback. Go stop the run. Go blow plays up. And you can tell he's already been freed. I have a 16-year-old who got his braces off earlier this week. It's almost like the braces have come off of Zaven Collins. He just feels freed from all that, you know?
That's good, Bully.
By the way, NFL Network, Wolf, they announced today, is going to carry the Cardinals preseason opener live. That's February. That's August 11th against the Denver Broncos. So, Wolf, you're going to go national, you and Pash.
Oh, no, Bully.
NFL Network.
Oh, no.
Get your mind right. Special thanks, Clayton Tune, Cardinals rookie quarterback. As always, Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher, Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Once again, single game tickets on sale now. EasyCardinals.com/buy tickets to secure your seats today. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.